This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. A U.S. airstrike in Pakistan may have missed a top al-Qaeda leader, but it did kill at least 18 people and prompted protests. Now, Pakistani security officials say several terrorist operatives were among the dead. The officials told the Associated Press that one was an explosives expert. Another was described as a relative of al-Qaeda's number two leader. Pakistanis say the attack missed that second in command, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and the strike highlights the challenge of tracking down al-Qaeda leaders. Here's NPR national security correspondent Jackie Northam.
Since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the administration's hunt for al-Qaeda leaders has focused on some of the most inhospitable areas of the world, Afghanistan, Yemen, and the mountainous regions of northwestern Pakistan. Friday's missile strike, reportedly from a pilotless CIA aircraft, hit a brick compound in Damodola. The village is in a remote, semi-autonomous region of Bajur along the Afghanistan border. Ruel Mark Gerecht, a former Middle East specialist with the CIA, says many people in the isolated region are sympathetic to al-Qaeda.
Bin Laden and his men have known that area since the 1980s, and it seems likely that they have built up networks, at least in some of those areas. And once those networks, once those ties and friendship has been built, it's very difficult to deconstruct it.
Gerecht, now with the American Enterprise Institute, says those loyalties also make it virtually impossible for the CIA to penetrate those remote regions of Pakistan. Pakistan's government, under President Pervez Musharraf, will not allow the U.S. military to carry out attacks on its soil. Vincent Canestrato, former director of intelligence at the National Security Council, says one way to chart the comings and goings of suspected terrorists is by using video surveillance from satellites and drones.
Another way is, of course, through signals intelligence, and that has been less productive in recent years as al-Qaeda has taken extraordinary measures to protect themselves, particularly with communication security.
It's unclear what, how much, or what caliber of intelligence was used to prompt Friday's airstrike. But Rand Beers, who served on the National Security Council for the past four administrations, says given the intelligence it had, the U.S. could have asked Pakistan to attack the compound. But
we have asked in the past the Pakistanis to help us go after these individuals. They've run operations. They were unsuccessful.
Beers says that President Musharraf's alliance with the United States has put him at odds with members of Pakistan's intelligence service and its military. And so the U.S. has few options other than using unmanned drones. The aircraft, called Predators, are armed with Hellfire missiles. They've been used three times in Pakistan since 9/11 with devastating effect. But there's often collateral damage. Pakistani officials say women and children were killed in Friday's attack. Former CIA official Gerecht says that's inevitable in the war on terrorism.
If you go after them, you have to expect that you are going to probably kill individuals who are not directly connected to al-Qaeda or their support structure. I just don't see any way around that, and that's just part of the ugly side of this war, as it is with any war.
The nature of the airstrike on sovereign territory and the death of innocent people has sparked some protests and complaints by the Pakistan government. But former CIA official Canestrato says those types of attacks don't happen in a vacuum.
These are really done for political cover because these kinds of attacks, predator attacks, in a sovereign country like Pakistan do not take place without the collaboration and the cooperation of the host government.
Pakistani officials continue to comb the area around Damodola, trying to identify those killed in the attack. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.